Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On Thursday, August 1st, the Chad Duke Show will be hosting our Hall of Fame game watch party at Monk's Barbecue. The party is free to attend and will feature an in-person Money Monk at his own restaurant, plus a burger eating contest, drink specials, the debut of the Pigskin Burger featuring no white goop, a brand new Chad Duke Show tea will be available at the event, and this will be the first ever candle exclusive episode. So save the date, August 1st at Monk's Barbecue for the Hall of Fame game watch party. The best barbecue in Virginia can only be found at Monk's Barbecue in Purcellville, Virginia. Check them out at Monk's BBQ on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and at monksq.com. If you're interested in buying or selling a home, there's only one person you should call, and that's Joe Azer. You can reach him at 571-989-2937. That's 571-989-AZER.
Hello, friendos.
Toast's name is Chad Dukes.
And I am burdened with glorious purpose.
It's the Chad Dukes Radio Show.
It's not free FM.
So give Chad a call. Here's the number.
385-645-5375.
It's Miller
time. What is that, Lil? 12 hands in a row? Dukes, you son of a bitch, nobody's that lucky.
Now here's your host, the Big Silly.
Chad Dukes.
Charlie Hotel.
Alpha Delta, yeah, Dukes, dig it!
There, but for the grace of God, do with me.
Where the nickel-sized hell and the damage chair wins. We rode over New York, never let us back in. We blew out the lights, kicked the windows in. And when the law showed up, said they're gonna have to take us in. They're scared of my music.
Oh, hello there, friendos, and thank you for tuning in. This is the free Friday episode of the Chad Dukes Show. Free and available on iTunes and Spotify. If you are listening to this any other ways, make sure you go over there, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and then let one of your ignorant friendos know that the show exists. I'm broadcasting live from the Fortress of Solid Dukes, presented by Monk's Barbecue. Of course, I'm Shoot Gigantor, broadcasting live from the Fortress of Solid Foods, I would assume is where he's at. Hello, Gigantor. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. It's the Fortress of Paul Skeen's Envy right now. That's all I think I can attribute it to.
Skeen is envy of your
No, place? I'm envious of Paul Skeen's in about every factor of life.
Yeah, I'm trying to go through it. Well, the youth and the height and the leanness and the ability and the money and the girlfriend and the city. That guy's got a lot to be. Who the fuck was it? You that was talking about how his bad complexion?
Somebody, no.
Who was that?
Was it knocking his skin? It looks fine to me. It looks fine when he's pumping 100 in the All-Star game, starting as a rookie. That is.
It's pretty amazing. I was like a mark. I was over on the Pittsburgh Pirates Instagram tag. They're doing a giveaway where you can get a signed Paul Skeen fucking All-Star hat, and I was tagging people so that I would have more opportunities to win like a boob.
I actually liked the MLB All-Star hats this year. The NFL draft hats I haven't loved for like the last 5 years, but the All-Star hats have been solid.
Well, they've mailed it in for the last 5 years. You could not have liked the MLB All-Star jerseys. There's just no way.
No, I prefer it when the players wear their own jerseys on the field. I thought that was the coolest aspect, but I guess if you, for the bottom line, selling another jersey to the baseball fan is more important than the coolness.
Ain't no one buying those jerseys. Dan Nebhut says Drab called him a pizza face. Yeah, Drab is a fucking hater. I mean, he really, I love Drab to death, but like, he is sneakily one of the biggest haters I've ever met in my life.
How could you have anything to say about that guy and how he's living right now?
Because Drab is still, even though he's 40, like, Drab still fancies himself, like, if I buckle down, I could be Paul Skeen. Like, I guarantee that's what it is. If I really dedicated myself to getting back in shape, I could quarterback the Bengals to a Super Bowl. I know that's where his mindset is.
I've been trying to buckle down. I'm about ready to quit.
All oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Two days.
Yeah, 2 days in back into the gym, and my body is rejecting everything.
Who's gym? Was he a willing participant in all this? I stopped on the Peloton for like 3 days in a row, and I got back on it yesterday, and I'm like, all right, you're at an age where if you take 3 days off, that might as well be 3 months off. So back on, fat boy. So I could go out and have a – oh, dude, I had a French dip last night. Let me ask you something. In your power ranking of sandwiches, see, here's the thing. A club sandwich is something I'll order more times than I will a French dip. But as far as the ceiling of potential in the sandwich game, I feel like the French dip basement is really, really high, and the ceiling is through the roof. Like, it can be one of the greatest sandwiches you've ever had anytime you order it off of any random Joe Dick or Harry menu.
It's so slept on, I think it's slept on because it's cumbersome. You know, you're in for a venture with a French dip. You're going to have all the au jus dripping over yourself. Your hands are going to be dirty. If you want like a clean, quick lunch, the club sandwich is the way to go.
Right.
But the French dip on a good day is easily in the top five sandwiches all across the board.
This is going to be an unpopular thing to say, but I think you and I are like-minded. When you add the crispy onion straws on top of anything, you're generally going to improve it. And that includes gelatin products, beverages. I mean, whatever it is, crispy onion straws are always going to make things better. But I ordered a French dip last night that had those, which I'd never seen before. And because of what you're saying, it's because structurally, when you're involving the au jus, it broke down even quicker because the batter was coming off the onions. And then, you know, it looked like somebody had shaken it. It looked like fucking Shohei Ohtani had shaken his gloves out over my au jus sauce after the first time that I dunked that bad boy in.
It's I don't know if it feels like a colder weather sandwich to me. Whereas I think summertime, you want to focus on cold cuts, and then the most heat you want is kind of from maybe like a toasted bread. Like that, I think that's the most warmth I'm looking for in a summer sandwich.
The only way that I'll disagree with you is that there are some sandwiches out there that if they're on the menu, they're fucking getting ordered by Shude. Like, if you've got a Cuban sandwich on your menu, I don't care what month it is. I don't care what the calendar says. It's going down. I'm taking it to Shakedown Street. And this was a restaurant that I wasn't expecting to have a French dip. And I said, all right, let's fucking do this thing. And then they were doing this crazy bit tour where I forget how expensive everything is now. They had specials where it was a $40 dinner special, where it was you get an entree, an app, and a dessert. Well, I thought it was for two people. Like, I thought that was it was just for one person.
Oh my goodness.
One person. Is that a deal? A $40 dinner special? We're not talking about, we're in at Ruth's Chris, you know, just standard chain American fare. I didn't feel like that was hooking you up.
It's really not good. It's bad across the board in grocery stores, restaurants, everywhere. Everything just feels more expensive. And then when I got bit bad earlier in the week, went out to dinner at this Italian place. And normally I take pride in being one of the top two orders at the table. On my plate is going to be something that's like, oh, he ordered right. He nailed it.
Oh, I thought you just meant quantity. Like, whoever ordered the most food had the biggest pile after the waiter left the table. Because you probably would be qualified for that as well.
I would say so. And then I don't know what happened. I choked it and I got like a gnocchi with sausage, which I liked.
That's great.
But another person got a big pork chop, and the pork chop was perfect, perfectly done. And it was a big plate. And it was like the first time in a while, I'm like, I might have the worst plate on the table. I think I'm in fourth out of four.
I don't know how it's possible. Gnocchi with any type of a sliced meat added to it, that's king shit. Now, if I live where you live, because Tor's in Jersey now, I would run up a streak of Italian meals. Like, there would be nothing ordered but Italian fare for so many weeks in a row that people would start to get worried about me. Like, no Mediterranean food. I would burn down a cava. Like, I just wouldn't do – I would do nothing – Italian sandwiches for lunch and then really thick pasta Italian – because you're in the heartland, brother. You're up there. That's one of the only reasons to be up there.
I know. And I was ready to go. I'm like, all right, let's get the pasta summer on. And then we started off and I saw a big pork chop sitting there. I'm like, well, you know what? I messed up.
Pasta summer is not good for the swimwear side of things. It's not good for beach time pasta summer.
Oh, there's a pool right outside my room. Haven't even ventured out towards it yet.
Why would you? I mean, wait until what you want to do is wait till October, and then it's too cold for everybody else, and then you have the insulation. You can jump in. No one sees the stretch marks. Thank you so much for checking out the program today. Thank you to Corey Reed, a monster super chat, $49.99. Thank you so much, Corey. Happy Friday, friendos. He says happy Friday to you, Corey. Thank you for being one of the scant few. I always say you should subscribe to the YouTube channel and make sure your notifications are on, because you never know when Tor and I are going to pop up, because we're doing the football show over here now and we're doing this is the way we're going to record it. So Tor, if we're gonna, I had the idea of maybe we should just be recording on StreamYard offline, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. If we're here, we should be in front of people.
Might as well. As close to radio as we can get, I always prefer. And I guess the closest we have via this is a live stream, which is a bummer, because a lot of people like say that they're treating their streams as radio shows.
Sure.
And it's not that, but I appreciate the live interaction.
Well, I mean, there would be more people listening to WJFK 1300 AM in Baltimore, which you couldn't hear outside the parking lot, than are watching this. But if it is the cut of your jib, make sure that you have those notifications turned on, because we are going to be most likely recording most of this garbage over on YouTube. I did want to plug this as well, Tor, while we are together. I am very proud of this show, and I think you're not ashamed of it. I think that's a good way to put it.
I really enjoy doing the show. Yeah.
No, not this show, the football show.
Yeah, love the football show.
Well, I think it's a lot of fun, and I think that people that even aren't the biggest football fans will be excited. I know you're a big Saints fan, and that's why I'm excited for this. On Monday, we're going to be doing a live stream of both types of sports. Everybody is welcome. We'll be joined by Bob Rose, who writes for SI.com and hosts the Bayou Blitz podcast, because I wanted to do my buddy Gigantor. He's a big NFC South guy. A huge favor, and get all of the skinny Alvin Kamara, Derek Carr, and the like. So, yeah, that will be Monday, 1:30 to 2:30. Weird time, I understand that, but if you enjoy football, make your way over to the YouTube channel. We'll be streaming it live, and of course, it'll be up on iTunes after that. I did that for you, buddy, as you know.
I appreciate it. Who's that Bayou gentleman in the back of the picture holding a nice libation?
I was hoping you could bring me over a mint julep and then hang your ball bag out the bottom of your Speedo. I'm going to drink myself Southern like Fez Watley used to. You like the graphic placing of who's up front and who's in the back? I'm just back there enjoying my fucking self on a nice Southern afternoon.
You're just checking out the scene from the porch.
Actually, that's a picture my wife took. I had moved the sofa out onto the front porch so I could watch the neighborhood that night. And I gotta tell you, Tor, I had a big old bucket of Jack Daniels that night. That was a good time. And that'll be on Monday if you'd like to check that out. Chip Fuqua says, I like this way better than 1300 AM. And then he said, hashtag pasta summer. Maybe pasta summer is going to become a new thing. Like, that could be our new fucking, like, what did Elliot in the morning do? Like, smell my face? Ours could be pasta summer, Gigantor.
I'll christen it with a good elbow mac. Maybe I like a rigatoni. It's okay, but I'm a bow tie guy.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about like with marinara based or Alfredo or vodka?
I think it's my favorite shape is the bow tie, and it can be marinara or cheese for me. I am anti small noodle. I think angel hair pasta is kind of a waste of resources across the board.
Do you know the curse? It's so funny you brought that up. The curse of a relationship I'm in where everything's pretty low maintenance. Like, we don't have a lot of money issues. We don't have kids. So like, everything's okay. Like, we both like the same vacations and shit. my wife is passionate about angel hair pasta tour. And I'm like, honey, you can't even like that. Pasta is the conveyance for the sauce. Like, yeah. What? So now every time we make a pasta dish, we have to boil two pots of water. And I put my rigatonis in because I like those big fat rigatonis too. Yeah. I don't know what those are called, but and she has to have angel hair pasta. That's probably why she's thinner, much thinner, a great deal thinner than I am. But what the fuck is that? Like, how could that be your the pasta that you prefer over all others?
It's the daintiest pasta of all time. So I understand, you know, if someone's trying to watch their figure, it's probably the most womanly pasta that's out there.
Yeah. They generally try to take care of themselves more than we do. You know,
it does nothing for me. It doesn't have the starch bleed off that helps the sauce stick to the pasta. It's just kind of there. I'm anti.
Where are you at on all the protein pasta that people try to sell you on now?
No, I won't get it. It's not that is not worth the squeeze for me. It's just it always tastes fake. It tastes like cardboard paper. Yeah. And I get it. That's what healthy stuff tastes like. If it's all chemicals and powder ground up and adhesed to itself, but it's not in my ballpark.
Also, remember when you and I went on our big cauliflower pizza kick?
Yeah.
It still tasted good, you know? Like, it still tasted like a flatbread or something like that. But if you look at that protein pasta, it's still got a bunch of calories in it. Like, you still shouldn't be fucking eating it. That's what I can't get away from. It's like, if I'm going to sit down and make myself a bowl of pasta, I'm done it. Like, I'm already off the wagon. Like, I've already moved in the wrong direction. I want to sit down and enjoy it, and then hopefully I'll get myself back course corrected by the next day. But I just think half-assing it with that, you're lying to yourself. In the same way when people go to Chipotle and feel like they're eating healthy, you're just not being honest with yourself. If you're going to eat fast food, just go ahead and eat fast food.
Yeah, the protein cereals, the protein pancakes, even though I saw that, it's just not, I do not like that granule texture that comes along with it. It doesn't feel like the actual flour and the dough and the batter all together in a nice formation. And maybe people end up tricking themselves. They eat it long enough and then they build up the habit. Oh, this is what I eat now. The Hot Man's Head thing. I'm not going to move off of it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lock in. Okay. It's not, that is not the cut of my jib.
I think 90% of dieting, and this sucks, is like everyone says everything in moderation. But if you are a true fat guy addict, I think you got to deny yourself all that shit. And you've got to convince yourself that the knockoff low calorie garbage is just the way that it tastes. I've been able to do that with pepperoni. Like, I can eat turkey pepperoni and there is no fucking drop off for me. And at times I actually prefer it because it's less greasy and oily. But other foods, it's just like, what are we doing? Like, let's just, if we're going to do it. And if not, then that's the way we'll live. I wanted to show you something here. You are scared of Star Wars: A New Hope, correct?
Yes.
You find that movie to be too scary for you to watch?
It scared me as a child. I don't think I would be scared of The Acolyte if I watched it today. I've seen much discourse about it.
You might be scared for different reasons. Jesus Christ. Did you see that, the Space Witch fucking chanting session from that show?
I've been sending I guess lightsabers can change colors now. I've been sending it to all the Star Wars fans I know, and they're just melting down.
Imagine like if you decided, all right, I want to make something about this entity that I enjoy, and my goal is to piss all over it as much as I possibly can. That seems to be the act. Like, that's not why I asked. The reason why I asked is if A New Hope is scary for you, where does the Aliens franchise rank? For terror purposes.
Alien was very scary, but it was a really good movie, so I was able to like. The Shining is a scary movie also, but sure. I liked The Shining, so I wasn't terrified of it because I was immersed in the fun. It was a good movie, so I got immersed. Alien, and then Aliens, and Alien 3?
It's Alien 3.
Okay, the whole trilogy I loved. I loved the short hair Ripley. I loved the first where it's just stalking around, the alien is stalking around the ship. And then the big hive in Aliens 2, fantastic.
Oddly, it's not Aliens 2, by the way, it's Aliens. It's also Chad Dick's show, Revelation 2, just so you know. I want to clear that up. Would you agree that bald Alien 3 Ripley is the hottest of the three Ripleys?
It's right up there. And maybe the cameras are a little bit better and Sigourney Weaver was still, you know, looking very very nice. And we got some high res of her, but I mean, she's a pretty face and the shaved head. And I think the tank top also gets me in that movie. Also, there's something about it. Well, she's got good arms, nice arms.
She's in great shape. I just think as far as being a sexual creature, I don't really view her that in Alien or Aliens. And then she's shagging the doctor, of course, who get spoiler alert. I wanted to show you this. And the question that I wanted to ask you is, how much money would it take for you to have one of these in your house? This is the popcorn bucket that they're putting out for the Alien Romulus movie that's coming out. Look at them dumping the fucking... Oh. If you haven't seen this, by the way, if you're listening on iTunes, you can go to Twitter. I tweeted out this thing, at Chad Dukes. It is a giant fucking xenomorph head where I would have assumed they would have flipped this bad boy over to her and poured it like into his skull, but there's actually a hatch on the big elongated head that they're dumping the buttered movie theater popcorn into. There's the big squirt, of course, of movie theater butter. Are you intrigued by this, or is this too scary for you to have in your house? Or, wild card, do you want to eat this thing? Because a lot of times, if there's a smooth plastic offering, you want to put it in your mouth and consume it.
I want to attach two of these to my arms and walk around with them like I'm ready for battle. And I would fill them with like sour Skittles and Reese's Pieces, and that would be my day. And I'm a big fan of the popcorn movie bucket. I like this more than the Dune 2 bucket was scarier than
the sex bucket. Yeah, that was the one that was the pocket pussy.
I didn't like the sex bucket. This one is great because the alien is so well designed, and it's unique and it's scary. And it's one of those designs that holds up through the test of time, where it's just always going to be scary and it's also always going to be cool. So I like that the movies are starting to, hey, let's bring fun popcorn buckets back. It was a good bit. It remains to be a good bit. I'm a big fan of it.
There was, I don't know if you ever saw AVP, Aliens vs. Predator, but there was a scene where the Predator gives the chick in it one of these heads that she uses as a shield because it's resistant to the alien's blood, which of course is acid. And then he breaks the tail off and ties it to a pole, and she uses that as a spear because, of course, you can't penetrate. The alien's hide is bulletproof. The Predator's weapons can penetrate it, but the human weapons cannot. So it's kind of a cool little scene. They took it from the comic book in what else is a very bad movie. How you fuck up aliens fighting Predators, I will never understand. But the only problem I have with the popcorn buckets is, and I chose to attack someone on Twitter that brought this up. Someone responded to that beautiful video and said, this is why microplastics have found a place to live inside our bodies. And I'm like, you can't fucking just look at this alien head and be excited, dickhead.
Ant-Man's IHOP order is the reason for the microplastics. Not the alien head popcorn bucket.
Also, how many times are you going to eat popcorn out of that alien head? Like maybe once during the movie. That's probably it.
Right, then maybe you wash it out if you're not a lazy piece of shit, and then you have it. Then you have a cool popcorn bucket.
Here's the problem I have, Tor. Stuff is too cool now. Like, you couldn't get all this cool-ass stuff. The best thing you had as a kid was Happy Meal toys when I was a young person. Now, there's awesome collectibles everywhere. That's just a popcorn bucket, and they've made 100 of them already this year. And the ones for Ghostbusters, which wasn't even a good movie, super fucking cool. You mentioned the Fleshlight bucket from Dune 2. I mean, these are things you just want to have, but they take up a lot of space, and I just already have shit everywhere. And every time I dump on Instagram or Facebook, there's just Facebook ads for all this baller ass shit from stuff I like, and I've just run out of room. I have a whole arcade in the studio, as you know. I don't have room for anything else.
Stuff is too cool, and I've had to start muting accounts and saying, okay, you can't do this anymore. Look at your TV stand.
Too much.
It's covered. You need to either start removing stuff, or you have to stop buying. And then stop buying is probably better for the cheapness in me.
Action figures are cooler, records are cooler. Like, it's everything's cooler, and they're just there's not enough space. Look at this crazy bastard. This man right here is a mensch. Mike from Don't Sleep Energy, don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the Dukes promo code DUKES, $49.99 super chat. Mike, thank you so much. Hopefully you'll be out at the Bone Zone on Friday night. Mike said, give me shells, or I think that's rigatoni's. Yeah. They got places for the sauce goodness to get stuck up in there. That's rather blunt, Tor, but he is correct about that. That's one of the reasons why when you were talking about pistas, if we're talking about mac and cheese, Shells are my number one seed because it's like a little cup of delicious cheese every time you get one of those bad boys.
I don't mind a medium to large size shell of the mac and cheese, and that, but I like the big stuffed shells. If that's as an entree, the mozzarella stuffed shell, that is a that is one that I always stand behind. And then I think I've worn out on the Easy Mac sized pasta portions, because I don't think enough gets in there. But if you're making a real mac and cheese, it has to be a big enough tube where the cheese or the shell can actually hold it.
I do a show with a big enough tube to host a show, if you can believe it, Gigantor. I mean, that's how big the tubes are that I get down with.
I did not like his outro, by the way, on the last Fortress film. I really did not.
He's a fucking weirdo. That's why. I can't believe you listened to that. Nobody else does. Are these the shells you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, the jumbo shells. Oh, just stuff them up. Put it in my... anywhere. I'd have them anywhere inside of me.
See, here's the problem is that ricotta cheese... I can deal with, but I don't have the passion for it as much as you guys do because it's rather flavorless. And I feel like every time I see a jumbo shell like this, it's not stuffed with sausage and Parmesan and marinara. It's stuffed with ricotta cheese. Would you say that's usually the case?
I'd say so. And I've completely jumped off of ricotta on pizza. Every time I've seen a ricotta offering on the pizza, I'm like, I'm okay. We can substitute feta or something else, or a three cheese blend. Because I do find it to be flavorless. I like the regular mozzarella on a cheese.
You put feta fucking cheese on a pizza?
I grew up with a lot of feta cheese and goat cheese and all that. That's in my wheelhouse.
You guys are weirdos. Thor Valkarin said, the French dip is right under a corned beef sandwich in the power ranking. If I can get like a nice dark corned beef with some real spicy mustard on like a pumpernickel or a rye or something like that, that's a pretty goddamn strong sandwich.
I'm still pretty cooled off on the corned beef after the fat sandwich incident.
I forgot about the notorious fat sandwich incident.
I did love that sandwich. The corned beef sandwich was incredibly strong. And if you have a really good selection of the meat, you have a good sandwich. But I'll probably check back into the corned beef in a couple years.
It is strange how if you have specifically meats too, like I was eating a piece of fish once and there was a bone in it and it got stuck like down my throat, and for about 10 years I couldn't eat fish because it fucking petrified me so much that every time I put a piece of fish in my mouth, I had some fight or flight fucking circumstances take place because I was so traumatized by that. I feel like it's almost a more benign version of, we've all had that one night with Captain Morgan or tequila or mezcal where it's like, okay, I can't drink this again for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that would be peach flavored vodka for me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that we don't need to ever go back. I'm good on fat and then good off tequila. I'm kind of sick of the tequila push that's been happening over the last couple years.
People pretending that tequila is really good is one of the most baffling scenarios that I have encountered over the past 10 years.
It's it's noted to be, I guess, the healthiest of the hard liquors. I don't care. I don't. If I'm drinking, I'm not really considering my health in that fashion, and I'd rather not drink tequila. I'd rather have a vodka soda with lemon or something like that.
I would agree, but there is a time and place when a margarita is going to, may I use some of your vernacular, hit differently than everything else. There really is. And I tell you where it is, Tor, and I'm a bourbon guy and I love vodka, but I was at spring training at the Salty Senorita, and it was me, and it was my wife, and it was my buddy Matt Van Vorst, who lives out in California and is a Dodgers fan. He worked at the radio station. And him and I got a margarita that was the size of that fuck. Remember Barrel Man for the Denver Broncos? That's how big this fucking goddamn. And we sat there and drank it in the hot weather out on the outdoor porch while we're getting ready to go to a Giants spring training game. And I was like, this might be the greatest alcoholic drink I've ever had.
The margarita is so strong, but the tequila shot invitation is an auto reject for Gigantor.
It's the agave smell for me. Like, I can't get the smell out of my head.
It's the smell. I remember when I called it quits on tequila. When I was in Dewey Beach last summer, and we had a night, and the next morning, the host of the house we were staying at said, "Hey, wake up, pussies! Time to take some tequila shots. It's 11. Let's get the day going."
I'm so glad I don't know your friends. Oh my god!
I said, "Look, I'm good. I don't want to do it," and I get called a loser and weak and he takes a shot and throws up in the sink maybe a minute later. And I said, "That's why I didn't do it. That's why I didn't." You literally just shot it and threw it right back. Everything. I'm done.
You know what's weird about it is like, because I know you've done this. If you wake up and you're hungover and you can get a Budweiser down, you're so much better off. Like, you're 1,000 times better off than when your eyes opened up. But if you try to shoot that fucking liquor down that early, unless you are, as my old man would put it, a thoroughbred alcoholic, it's a kill switch almost immediately for anything going else down your gullet, and you're going to puke everything up.
It has to be for me. You kind of put me on this train also. It find me a Mexican beer and I can work on it for about 15 minutes and then my day is saved.
Find me a Mexican lager. I told you I had my life saved in Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport by a Tecate. It absolutely, I was about to have to either not get on a plane or I was going to throw up on a plane, and I had tried 2 Bloody Marys and I still felt like shit, and I got that Tecate down and I felt like the Man of Steel. I felt like Bo Cephas. It was amazing. Mike from Don't Sleep, thank you so much again for the $49.99 super chat. Very, very generous. Thor is saying it's time for you to forgive yourself and start to heal in the Reuben sandwich department. I don't know. For those people that are new to the show, my guy Thor, I have Thor and Thor in the room right now. You were drunk at your parents' house. Your mom had made a bunch of corned beef. And you went upstairs and you started making sandwiches and you ate 2 of the sandwiches without even really thinking much about it. And then the next morning you realized that was a Tupperware that was just filled with the leavings, the fat from the process. And you had eaten 2 fat sandwiches back to back.
Yeah, that's right. I was getting drunk. I think I was watching Batman Begins and I was drinking.
That's pretty good night.
And I was having a really
hell yeah.
I had some free sake. And I said, "All right, let's see what this is about." And I, the world was my oyster at that point. And then 3 hours later, I was a little bit hungry, a little bit 3 sheets to the wind. Went upstairs and fixed up what I later discovered the next morning in front of my whole family was the fat for the dog to eat. I had to go take a nice walk in my backyard and just pace and throw up and pace and try to get settled in, because as disgusted as I was with myself, I started realizing that my stomach had, I'd also betrayed my stomach as well.
Yeah, fissure. There's nothing worse than the fattest fat you ever fatted. And that's, I believe, where we came up with the term. And I know that we haven't heard a lot of those recently, but I always enjoy hearing other people's the fattest fat they've ever fatted, where you just do something so fat that you're like, I should just fucking wipe myself off the face of this fucking planet. There's no reason for me to be here.
The fattest fat with the gentleman I'm roommates with now, the fattest fat that always cracks me up is that he would go to Five Guys in I think senior year of high school, and he would go and get I think a 4 patty double cheeseburger, maybe sometimes 5, and just house it.
I don't think I could do that. I mean, I love Five Guys, and that's too much red meat.
Who does that? That's a crazy order to be pulling off.
My wife is oftentimes disgusted with how I will order the large Cajun fry at Five Guys. I'm sure most people know. Everyone, by the way, everyone thinks they're the only one that knows that Five Guys hooks you with the fries. That Five Guys really goes overboard. They're like, you only have to order a medium because they give you so many fries. And I'm like, no, I get the large anyway because I'm an American. She's oftentimes said, do you really think you should be eating a metric ton of Cajun fries to go along with your double cheeseburger?
Well, I'm already putting in $30 on the order, so I might as well go on that. And then that whole the Five Guys is expensive shtick.
I'd like to go Jay and Silent Bob style to all of those people and then just drag them out of their house and be like, it's the best you can get. You're not going to pay for the best you can get, then fine. Go back to Wendy's and waste $17 on a shit burger. It's all expensive right now.
Tragic. Yeah, I like that that's died down. No, yeah, but it's the best and it's got the quality. So that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a little bit of quality. It's going to hurt you some. That have it twice a year then. You don't need – Five Guys is not a once a month, once every 2 weeks meal.
I agree. Did you see this story? Terrell Owens is beef with Tom Brady.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to read this to you. So he went on a podcast because everybody has a podcast. And he talked about this offer that he made to Tom Brady, at which Tom Brady, what is the Bubba Dub show, Tor?
Oh, I don't. Let me see what this is.
I feel like you're on up on All Athlete podcasts. I'm not as informed. He told a story about how when the Buccaneers lost Antonio Brown, I guess Terrell Owens called up through Randy Moss and tried to offer his services up to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Quote, Tom Brady ignored me. It was the end of the season. I didn't need to play a full season. They just needed someone to fill holes with AB leaving the receiver position. I reached out to him through Randy Moss and some other people just to come in and play third down in red zone situations. You know, this dude really ignored me. It just shows the lack of respect out there. But then when they get in front of you, they act like they respect you. Do you know how old Terrell Owens was when this took place, Gigantor?
I'd say he was probably 44 years old.
48 years old. 48. Now, if you remember, he'd been trying this shit for a while, like trying to come back and play. But he's taken a run at the greatest of all time. Quote, it shows you how arrogance comes into play. Tom Brady could have made it happening. Me understanding the game, understanding how to play with a future Hall of Famer and Tom Brady, and trying to add to what they already had. They had just won a Super Bowl. Honestly, he could have had his eighth Super Bowl. This is what Terrell Owens is saying about himself joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 48 years of age.
Oh, that's a lot to unpack there. The Bubba Dub show on the volume, Colin Coward's network, regardless. Oh,
didn't even know what that was.
The arrogance of Tom Brady. No. You wanted to play the, first of all, coming in the red zone in the third down, that's selfish. That is a selfish ask. You're not going, hey, I want to go out there and block in the run game, contribute. No, I want to be the target that gets the touchdown and the big third down conversion at 48. Go screw. That stinks. You just wanted a little more limelight, and you thought Tom Brady was playing GM. He kind of was, and there, you know, he was bringing some players in, and receivers were getting chances in Tampa Bay. Doesn't matter. That is a gross miscalculation by Terrell Owens.
Look, Terrell Owens played for that fan-controlled football league like a couple of years ago. Do you remember that? Like, yeah. He caught a touchdown and it made SportsCenter or whatever, and that's impressive. And look, if anybody sees T.O. with his fucking shirt off, you know this guy takes care of himself. I'm not saying anything about his preparation, but there's no way he's going out there against 26-year-olds anywhere on the field and beating one-on-one matchups. And also, when are there specialists like this? This isn't baseball where you have a guy to come in and chew up 2.5 innings before you get to your closer. Like,
no,
nobody does this.
You could you imagine being the 53rd guy on the Bucks and saying, hey, sorry, we're going to have to drop you down to the practice squad or release you because we're bringing in 48-year-old Terrell Owens. So we can get a little more limelight because he's not getting enough attention. Give me a break.
I just don't. That was the year they beat the Cowboys and Tampa. But I guess you need a certain Terrell Owens is arrogant is not a news bulletin that we're breaking here. But to still believe that about yourself at that age and to think that, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and that he's a bit of a showman, so perhaps he knows he's ginning people up by saying it. But if you actually believe that you're the difference in Tom Brady getting his eighth Super Bowl and not at that age, at that point of the fucking season, not knowing the system, it's a wild thing to say, man. It's definitely he's got a lot of belief in himself.
Tom Brady made it look fun for old guys to play football in Tampa. That's what he did. That when he went in there and won the Super Bowl, he started getting a little salt and pepper in the beard. He had a big crazy Bruce Arians. It didn't matter. He made it look cool and fun. So it didn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me that guys that were out of the league would have wanted to play for that team. It seemed inclusive to play with the best quarterback of all time. But you were not going to be a key contributor by any means, Terrell Owens. You
no.
weren't.
No, and it doesn't work either. Like, I don't know how many minutes when Karl Malone went to the Lakers. I mean, we've seen this a couple of times, but they're not 50. They're not 50-year-old dudes trying to go out and get this done. And also, you're kind of admitting that you're just cherry-picking on you're going there to catch touchdowns and be in the playoffs and not put any of the work. It's just the whole thing was wild. And I wish I had it. If I had that level of belief and confidence in myself, I wonder how different my life would be. It must be an amazing thing to be that staunch in your belief that you're that talented and that much of a difference maker. Now you're offended that Tom Brady didn't take your offer seriously. What the shit? Like, you're lucky he didn't go around laughing about it behind your back doing public interviews.
48 is absurd. Julio was 32 years old on that team.
He looked like he was 48.
I think he caught a couple touchdowns down the stretch.
I'll take your word for it. I was filing a missing persons report for him.
Yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer was the fifth or sixth receiver coming off the bench for that team. I'm sure we're bringing you out. I'm sure, T.O. That makes sense.
Yeah, he was a silly goose. The other story, and again, we're not doing a football show here, so don't worry if you are not the biggest fan. But I'm a big, big fan tour of guys being able to get the money that they're deserved. And this was kind of a weird situation with Caleb Williams. He has signed finally. It got reported. Did you see how early it got reported that he had signed his fucking deal? It was like 2 days before it actually happened.
I saw the notification come up maybe 20 minutes after Both Types of Sports was posted. Yeah. I said, oh, great. They're good. There goes one of the six. But yeah.
But it hadn't actually happened. So he finally got it done. And the reports are that there was some creativity used by Caleb Williams's, I guess, his camp, whatever his team he's put together, because we know he doesn't have an agent that's approved by the NFL Players Association. He wanted to get paid as an LLC. Which is interesting, where the Bears wouldn't be paying Caleb Williams, they would be paying an entity. And then he'd also tried to have his pay used and distributed to him as a forgivable loan, which would have resulted in Williams getting the money tax-free until the loan was forgiven, which could happen at 10 years in the future. This is on top of, the ownership stakes and all the other stuff we heard up until this point. Florio points out that Caleb's father worked in commercial real estate for years and brought all of these to the table. But this kind of explains why they were dragging their feet a little bit on this. And it goes to what we were talking about on Both Types of Sports this week, is that you drafted a weirdo. He's a very talented weirdo, but he's a weirdo nonetheless. That being said, I love this. I love saying, all right, I got a slotted deal. I'm only going to get paid this much money, even though we know if this was the open market, I could get just as much money as Tyreek Hill. I don't know, maybe Jared Goff. Who the fuck knows what his potential worth is to the Bears. But them trying to go in there and saying, let's do things differently. I want to keep more of my money. I want my money to work better for me. I love the idea of this guy pushing those fucking boundaries because it makes the NFL uncomfortable. And maybe there's guys 5 or 6 years down the road that benefit from some of this stuff.
It could be an interesting precedent to set with contracts and I guess wisening up to different ways if you could work it to get a team to bend to stipulations like that instead of going, hey, we're the team, we're your employer. Here's the contract we're giving you, fourth rounder. We'll see what you can do. Go ahead and try to negotiate. But if you're a first round pick, it could open up doors where you see more guys keeping their money in different ways. I don't mind this. It feels different than there was an NBA player not too long ago that opted to get I think 90% of his contract, maybe 80% paid in cryptocurrency. Like they're which I hated. I was
that seems kind of stupid
that move, but finding a way to try to work it if you are the number one overall pick. And if I was the Bears, he's worth, I don't know, he's worth whatever Kirk just got paid.
Sure.
That contract right there.
I
4
agree.
Years, 112, whatever. Go ahead. That's what you got. That's what you're worth to me coming right out of college. It's not this bullshit rookie quarterback contract.
And I understand why they can't do that, because then you're going to veterans that have been sitting there and having their bodies beat to shit and saying, like, you mean these kids coming in getting paid? But here's the example that I would use. Pat McAfee, right? How long has Pat McAfee been doing his show? A few years?
Yeah, a few years.
Well, there's been guys doing it way longer that have paid way more dues that don't get the opportunities that Pat McAfee does, right? But Pat McAfee has an audience and he has a talent and people are intrigued by him. So he leapfrogs a bunch of motherfuckers. And to me, isn't that what a meritocracy is? It's like, we're not going to give you this because of X, Y, and Z. You put in this much time and you climb the right. No. We are in charge of getting people to try to watch these television programs and you can put more asses in the seats. Same way, whatever Stephen A. Smith gets paid, you know, four times more than any other host. It's like, well, find me somebody that people talk about more than Stephen A. Smith, and then I'll hear your argument. Caleb Williams, I understand why the NFL did what they did, but he is a more powerful figure right now than Kyler Murray. You know, go down the list of quarterbacks, you probably would go five or six before you get to Caleb Williams. When you talk about where the Bears are, what they invested, where that pick was, the expectations, why does he have to get bum-effed? Because people got pissed off before he got to the league. He's worth what he is worth. We heard Tua Tagovailoa say that. The market is the market. Well, why is his market different? That doesn't make any sense to me.
The market is the market. And, you know, Kevin Negandhi may be a better journalist than Pat McAfee, but you're right. If the eyes are going to Pat McAfee, then you make a decision how you want to work in the market. Do you want to be, you know, loyal to the tried and true journalism, or do you want to go and, you know, get some clicks and views and have a new show on the program that does ruffle some feathers and does make, I don't know, executives uncomfortable and shakes up the sphere a little bit, but you got people tuning in. I think that the bottom line is the bottom line.
Look, man, this is going to sound like a shot and it's not, but here's where you want to see the epicenter of this. Be at a radio station working with Grant Paulson. Okay. Because Grant Paulson is very young and leapfrogs dudes all the time for gigs because people like him and he does a good job and they want him to be a part of their fucking projects, whether it's play-by-play, whether it's working for individual leagues, whether it's scouting, whatever it is. And then you've got people that are qualified, of course, and they're putting in the hours and they're grinding and they're like, why the fuck, you know what? You can't get mad at the guy that's fucking getting the opportunities because the people aren't giving you the opportunities because they see something there that they want to bring in because there's a following or there is a built-in fucking audience. And I think that's with these rookie quarterbacks. I would understand journeyman being rubbed the wrong way. This guy's never thrown one football and then teams are getting hamstrung by a fucking, you know, a big chunk of money given to a player that still might bust out. He may bust out. He may not be able to hack it.
Yeah.
But if teams are willing to pay it, draft a kid. I'm not willing to pay this. You go back in the draft. Or this whole thing should be reimagined is what I'm saying. And maybe these are some of the first steps to get that to happen. Joel Jung, thank you so much for the $20 super chat, my friend. You can always put a comment in there if you'd like to say whatever it is you want to say. But yeah, did you also see, just real quick before we close out football stuff, that the Raiders were all pissy about the Davante Adams potentially getting traded to the Jets thing? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is in their head so fucking bad, they actually had to release a statement about it.
Why? Look, you should be. Hey, stop talking about our player like this. He's not on the Jets. Why are you trying to start future typing him on the Jets? You don't know what our season's going to be. The sure. Raiders could go out and start up 5-0. They won't, but they could. So if you're trying to, I understand why the Raiders would want to do it. Settle the camp down. You don't want these rookies and the young guys coming in thinking that the best player on the team is going to be gone by week 7. You have to do some damage control in the statement. And there's just a chaos merchant in New York or
chaos
Egypt,
merchant
or wherever he is, just throwing the league in a blender, making statements that causes problems for many other people. So I don't know where I'm standing on Rodgers still. I need to see how he does with the Jets. If he starts winning with the Jets, I'm all the way back in. If it's a bummer nothing season, which I don't think it will be, but if it is, then I'll be like, okay, you have been just for entertainment these last couple of years.
He pisses off a lot of the people that I find annoying. So even though I don't agree with some of the shit he says, and I certainly don't agree with him not showing up for that mini camp to go to Egypt or whatever the shit that he did, I'm still rooting for him. And I like when he does stuff like this. I like him making people uncomfortable. This broke Tor. I'm sure you saw this on the show. That's a terrible way of sharing it there. But the Bennington show tweeted this out on the 15th, which was Monday. I think it was Monday, We were taping the Chad Duke show and we were wrapping up and I saw this tweet and it turned the end of the show on its ear because we were wrapping up. We'd done a bunch of topics. I thought it was a good show. And you know me, I hate pedantic fucking food debates. Is a hot dog a sandwich? Like, we're just bleeding our lives away arguing if pineapple belongs on a pizza, right?
Right.
I do a fair amount of thinking about food. And if you can come up with something I've never actually considered, it does stop me in my tracks from time to time. And what the Bennington Show tweeted out is the order of your bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich layering important? Is the layering of the bacon, egg, and cheese, I assume this is on a biscuit or a bagel or whatever you're having it on, does that matter? And it rocked me. It shook my foundation. And I know that you're a bacon, egg, and cheese enthusiast because you and I have shared many breakfasts together here in the Fortress of Solid Dudes. I first want to acknowledge that the flavor should not be affected in any way, shape, or form because it's the same goddamn ingredients. So this is ridiculous. But did you see that? And did you have any thoughts on it?
I think now that I'm starting to work the different machinations in my hand, of how it would shake out, I think it does matter to me, because step one would have to be you have to get the cheese on top of the eggs. It can't be below and a cheese on top of the egg. Keep the egg in place. Have the cheese right there, nice in the middle. You're always getting a bite of cheese. That has to be step one for me. Step two, I think it has to be bare egg on the bottom of the sandwich. Just let those two meet. There's not going to be a bunch of sliding. They should be able to work with enough friction where it's not falling off.
And then
bacon on top of the cheese, touching the top of the top of the sandwich. And that's only because I think the way I use my hands, if the bacon was on the bottom, I could see I don't have enough control over that, over the bacon, and it could be falling out because my thumbs aren't properly gripping it. Whereas if I'm holding it with the four fingers on top, I have true structural integrity to maintain the bacon in the sandwich.
There's a million different reasons why I agree with you. And I'm relieved to hear you say this, because what I went into this topic just assuming that everybody felt the way that I felt. And then I was in the room with two dingbats who felt completely differently. The proper order is egg, cheese, bacon. That is the proper order. You don't want to melt the cheese over the bacon because the bacon is not structurally sound. It's got ridges. Right. Also, it can snap. The reason why you don't put the bacon on the bottom is because if you crush it and it's crispy bacon, it's going to crumble all out the bottom. There's less likelihood of that to happen. You have more control, like you said, if it's on the top. And the cheese must be on the egg. The cheese must be melted over the top of the egg. The same reason why you melt cheese on a cheeseburger. You don't put the cheese over the top of the toppings on a cheeseburger. It's on the burger itself. The egg takes the place of the biggie from Cluckster's. I assumed that was the way everyone wanted it. And then it was a goddamn running gunfire as far as everybody's different opinions on how this should be done. I was flabbergasted.
I've always been a little specific about this, and maybe like even with my bologna and cheese sandwiches as a kid, it would be mustard on the bologna, mayo on the cheese, put it together, nice and simple. It couldn't be the other way because that's not how the palate worked in my on the sandwich that I prefer.
But what do you mean palate? Because it's the same. Look, I think first of all, you're disgusting for putting mayo on a bologna sandwich. I'd like to get that out there. But it's not going to change the flavor. Like, how could it possibly be a right or wrong way if it's all going to be the same garbage you're putting into your body?
I think for me, it's something with the timing of how the ingredients hit the tongue. That has to be where I have an option and control of what different flavor profile I'm taking with that bite.
I would refer you to the club sandwich for any fucking pervert out there that thinks the bacon goes on the bottom. The bacon is always the top layer of the club sandwich before you get to the final piece of bread. Always.
The bacon is always on top of the burger. Always.
Always.
It's never underneath, because it's not like it's a delicate food, but it's an impressionable food. And you don't want it getting soggy. You want it to be the perfect accent. And the only way to do that is to protect it from the hot lettuce or the hot meat, eggs, whatever.
Hot lettuce. Keep the hot, hot, and the cool, cool. That's where McDLT had it right. And I'll also go as far as to say, all vegetables, get all your hot ingredients out of the way before you get to lettuce, tomato, onion, if we're going the burger route or the sandwich route or whatever.
Yeah. I don't want it all blended and mixing. One of the Family Guy bits that I did like was the construction of the pizza salad, the pizza place salad, where it's okay, let's just put the lettuce on top of all the pizza boxes so they warm up on the delivery over. who doesn't love hot lettuce?
That's disgusting. I haven't seen that bit, but it makes me want to throw up just like fucking thinking about you taking shots of fat before you go out and vomit in the backyard. Joel Jung, thank you so much for the $10 super chat. We're doing this free Friday episode for everybody, but it's always nice to get super chats. All right, boys, I have to disagree on the angel hair pasta. Take the time that you go with the pasta is when you have the chance to sample more than one sauce, you go with the pasta to not get so full. Okay, so he's saying that the angel hair pasta doesn't fill you up as much. How many times are you doing that, though, when you're sitting down to a pasta dinner where you want to sample a bunch of different pastas toward? That's a very rare occurrence for me, and I like to eat a lot of pasta.
Is he doing like a pasta sauce flight, like at a brewery where it's okay, here's our base with the angel hair, and then we're mixing it. It's just not in my, the angel hair pasta just does not make an impression on me. It doesn't do much of anything for me. I don't see really a world where it does. And because I know there's a better thin noodle that isn't angel hair. It's just too extremely thin. And there's not enough bite. There's never any satiation afterwards. It's there.
What is the best flight you've ever had? Can I give you mine first just to put you in the ballpark?
Please.
There's a place in Manio in the Outer Banks. They do pickled egg flights where they pickle eggs and they do a spicy jalapeno one. They do an Old Bay one. They do like a garlic and clove one. They do four or five different versions of a pickled egg. And for like $8, you can get a pickled egg flight, and they just put a tray out with all of them on there so you can try them at one time. One of the most unique flights that I've ever had. There's a couple of gross ones, but there's a couple really good ones too if you're a fan of the pickled egg.
I think, this is going to sound low rent. This is going to be really low rent.
Most things coming out of your pie hole do, coming out of your cake horn do.
The pickled egg flight sounds delicious.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I think we, the House of Happiness did a...
R.I. Fish. All right, fish to the HOH. The Fortress of Flatulence is no more. We had done
a Glory Days slider flight where you had three.
You guys are fucking low rent, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened. We went to Glory Days like three times this summer. It became restaurant.
After all the shit you gave me when they kept playing Pink and fucking Gwen Stefani when the football games are on.
Music was tragic. I barely saw any sports. But
they hate sports. They love SpongeBob SquarePants reruns, ESPN Classic, and playing fucking dance music. That's what they love.
There was some important basketball game on one time, and I remember looking up. I'm just watching an old Caps game. Like, this isn't even live. It's just...
It's a weird bit, man. If someone can figure out the Glory Days Grill business model, you explain it to me. Because they've been around for 100 years, so they must know what they're doing. But if there's a big game on, and you go there to watch it, they're going to have the Black Eyed Peas on over the loudspeaker, and it's only going to be on one TV so they can show Family Ties reruns.
Like, Dmitry Orlov's been off the team for 3 years. Why am I watching him?
That looks like Alexander Semin. I think he's out of the league. Wait a minute. It's the national championship game. What are we doing here? Oh, did you get the new NCAA game? The new college? Do you like it?
I do like it. And then I've had to explain to people my whole life that Northern Virginia people don't necessarily have college football teams. It is a barren wasteland of Mason didn't have a football team. Virginia Tech's 4 hours away.
Tech people trying to claim that Tech is a Northern Virginia school. A lot of that.
Yeah. It's a lot of people from Northern Virginia that went to Tech and then they don't live in Blacksburg anymore. Right. So they take their fandom, but it's, you know, state school, UVA is far. They're all far. So it's just kind of been good. I've been playing as Middle Tennessee State.
I like that
for my uncle.
And, fighting dickheads. Yeah. I believe that's their mascot.
Blue Raiders.
Oh, I was close. How different is it from Madden? Like I saw Warren Sharp tweeted out. There was like 650,000 people playing it on launch day. Like they'd already had the game and were already online. It's just an unbelievable number.
EA made so much money on this. And I haven't played the last couple Maddens because I've learned that it consumes my life. Sports video games, when I really start getting into them, they take over way too much time in my life because I like building a franchise and I like getting really in the weeds. And I know that about myself, I can't let myself get really in the weeds with it. But this is, it's kind of refreshing. You're seeing new teams and jerseys and the stadiums are good. It's been fun. It's hard in some areas, which I like. I like a challenging, a sports video game that's kind of a challenge.
I just don't like EA being rewarded for being a monopoly. I just think the whole sports gaming landscape was better when other developers were making sports games, football games specifically. And EA won't make a Blitz game because of the hits after the fucking whatever. I just wish that they didn't have sole propriety of college football and the NFL. I just don't think it's good for the marketplace. But everybody seems to love that game.
There's a good amount of criticism about, oh, it's just a Madden reskin. Well, technically, yeah, a lot of the mechanics in it are, but if I hit stick somebody, I see them go horizontal on the field, which is fun. Or if I make an ankle tackle, then their head is hitting the turf, and that's a fun time for me.
There's also enough people. There's also 120 stadiums, I think, and there's also enough people that are college football fans primarily that why wouldn't you just reskin Madden and make it look like a college football game? You sell a bunch of those.
Yeah, no, it's been a smashing success so far. And then, I mean, they got a lot of people to pay $150 for a duel of Madden and this game.
Hey, just why not?
Played early. So
why not? I mean, it's a good time to do it. You're so fucking starved for football. This is the perfect time to release that shit.
Oh yeah.
Canon Hotep 999. Salute Dukes coming through to show some love. Yo, thank you, Canon Hotep, for the 999 super chats. Always appreciate you coming through and being so generous. Thank you to our super chatters today. What's the rest of the day? I hope the remainder of your day involves an Italian sandwich, young Gigantor.
I might get I have a question for you about the remainder of my day, and then maybe this stems into the weekend. Do you think I can handle long legs?
Wow. Do you want a quick and easy answer?
We can start with the quick and easy.
No.
Okay. Gotcha.
You can't handle long legs. No. You would leave long legs. Here's what I'm telling you. Here, go. I'm going to Venmo you as soon as we get off. Okay. How much are movies up there? $100. I'm going to Venmo you for a movie ticket. I want you to go to long legs. If you make it out of the first 3 minutes. Okay. I'll give you $100.
Oh my God.
If you can sit there after the first 3 minutes of long legs and stay to watch the rest of the movie, you get $100.
Isn't it?
No qualifiers.
Isn't it Nicolas Cage? Isn't it Serial Killer?
He's in it. Oh. He's long legs. You know how I know it's not a spoiler? Because they say at the beginning of the movie during the credits, and Nicolas Cage as long legs. And I'll even go this far, Tor. If there was one movie I could say Tor will not be able to handle this, it would be long legs. And I wouldn't even say that to my fellow horror movie aficionados. Like, if you enjoy horror movies, this movie isn't even as disturbing as Hereditary or Midsommar. And you've seen those, correct?
I've seen Hereditary. I have stayed away from Midsommar.
Okay, watch that. Watch that. And then if you're like, okay, I can handle this, then go see Daddy Long Legs. Because you won't make it out of the first 3 minutes. You'll get up and you'll turn around and you'll walk away, unless you're just covering yourself up, which I don't know if you do that in a theater.
I will have to go in a sweatshirt and maybe okay. All right.
You know, are you going to take your new hetero life mate, or are you going to go by yourself?
No, I don't think he is an even bigger wimp than I am.
There's no fucking way you're making it through long legs by yourself. There's no way. We started the show saying that Star Wars: A New Hope is too scary for you, that you can't revisit it.
Well, early Vader was a presence that I thought he was under my bed.
Oh, but when you see Neeb Noob, you fucking just freak out and you have to get out of there. Oh, yeah. You don't know him? He's the co-pilot of the fucking Millennium Falcon with Lando Calrissian. He's the one that goes, blah! Look him up. You'll love him.
Okay.
He's got a lot of moisture on his flaps underneath his big lips. Look at this. Here's $20 for Ripley. Well, she's right over here. Let me take a look. Yep, she's completely sacked out. Adam McNair, $20 super chat. Thank you, brother. How about this, Adam? I will take a video of me giving her a greenie, sponsored by your $20, as soon as we're done with the show here today. All right? Thank you, bud. Corey Rita said, Tor alone watching Long Legs. No chance. Kevin Smith says no. Hey, man, I would love to do it as a social experiment.
Oh, I like Neen Noob. This
are you like
cool.
him? Yeah. Yeah, he's great. What about Admiral Akbar? Are you a fan?
Oh, I think I am. I like
his... Well, that's longer than we will ever get that far. That's my Admiral Akbar, by the way. All right, get ready, Tor. I'm about to set you up with a line, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to give you the line that approaches the line, and then you have to finish it off with the correct line. All right?
Gotcha.
Captain, we have enemy ships approaching in Sector 7.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Oh, there we
yeah!
go.
How did you know that?
It was just, I think Admiral Akbar was just memeable enough when he was when Twitter was getting started, where that
locked in. You know, from memes.
Yeah, I couldn't make it through the saga.
This is gonna end up being a clip on the YouTube channel where I go from being so excited to just being so disappointed. It's a trap. Hey, there's a good idea. Why don't you call up Matt Lawson and see if he'll drive up and watch Long Legs with you? I bet he would. I know you guys are black phone buddies.
If it's that scary, I don't know if I want Lawson two seats away from me. I might want him right next to me.
I would say it's more disturbing than scary, which is why I don't think you're going to fucking make it out alive.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, let me know. And look, the offer stands. If you're going, I will send you the money for the ticket. 3 minutes in, you make it $100. The second you say, I've been in this movie for 5 minutes, I send you $100.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. I need your word that you'll be honest.
I will.
Thank you.
And if I tap out, then I will be honest and let you know I did not make it.
That's right. If you tap out, you got to send me a picture of you in a G-string and high heels. Thank you so much for listening this week to the Free Friday episode of the Chad Duke Show. Much appreciated. If you could leave a 5-star review, that would be fantastic. And tell a friend. Gigantor, good to see you, my friend. I hope you're getting along up there and doing joking and Hoboken.
Doing well. Excited to talk Saints early next week.
Monday, make sure you're signed up. We'll be streaming both types of football live for Tor's beloved Saints. He'll be hoodadding it up until then. Thank you to Adam McNair, Cannon Hotep, Joel Jung times two, Mike from DontSleepEnergy.com, and Corey Rita for super chatting. And if the good Lord is willing and the freaks don't rise, Tor won't fucking make it out of Long Legs alive. Smile, Tor.
You know what I always say? Time to rot and friendship you. Ta-da to fucking you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.